Let's read the scripture today. Sing to the Lord all the earth, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are his in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You can be seated. We're actually going to finish the series that we've been doing on worship. Worship defined. So, you missed five messages. This is just a wrap-up. I love what the writer of 1 Chronicles wrote in that first verse that we read. It said, let the whole earth sing. Some of you here are old enough to remember that old Coke commercial, soda, pop. It depends on what part of the country you're from when you say soda or pop. You found that out. I've actually been rebuked sometimes, different places that I've lived. But this old Coke commercial was people standing, holding hands all across the globe, all across the world, and they were singing, I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. And I think that would really please God's heart if every person from every nation, all people would for 1 hour in this world join hands and sing. What a difference it would make. You know, when we are, especially North Korea, we got to get them in there. We got to get Russia in there too. Every one of us singing for an hour would change our world because it brings such unity. When we worship God, it brings us together with him and together with each other. We noticed that during Vacation Bible School. We've even heard stories during World War II where German soldiers and American soldiers on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day put their weapons down and got together and sang Christmas carols together. You see what worship will do. Worship not only gets us connected to God, who is a wonderful God of love and peace, but worship connects us to one another as we lift up the name of our God and lift up the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. When God makes a new heaven and a new earth, and he's going to do that someday, I'm looking forward to it because we won't have this heat and humidity. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Wow. We won't have big snow drifts either. Praise God for that. I don't like shoveling snow. But he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to be based on worship. There'll be one God, one Lord, one Spirit. We'll still be doing all the things that we love now, but we will be united together in worship of our King Jesus. If you're taking notes today, you can follow along. Number one in your notes is worship is one of the major roots of the life of a believer. We are compared to a tree when we are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a tree, if it's any good, is going to have leaves. And it's going to give you fruit. And I'll tell you, this time of year, we really want those leaves because we need the shade. We have neighbors that live close to us, and they have a dead tree in their yard. It is ugly. And at night, when you walk down the street, it's actually scary and spooky. It's actually an eyesore because it doesn't have the leaves, doesn't have any fruit. And we don't want to be like that as followers of Jesus Christ. We want to have fruit. We want to be productive. We want to be beautiful. And worship will make us beautiful before the eyes of other people and the eyes of our God. Amen. You know what? Mankind will usually begin to resemble whatever he or she worships. If a human worships the human body, they'll become lustful. If a human worships knowledge, they'll become prideful. But if a human worships God, they'll become God-full. I like that. I want to be God-filled. How about you? Another term that we use is we'll be godly. I want to be godly in Christ Jesus. I want that intimacy with my Creator God. Worship is a necessary root in our lives because it is the root of healing. A Greek word that's used in the Bible for worship is therapeu. You can remember that easy because you say P-U, right? Therapeu, which actually makes our word therapy. We just had a therapy session today. We're in worship with the Lord. It's used 44 times, and what it means is to relieve, to cure, and to heal. Every time we worship our God, He will do a healing in us. He will fill up any void or emptiness in us. He will take away those worries, those strains, those fears, those doubts. He will take away those kinds of things that pull us down, and He will bring cure and healing to us. Why does God command you and I to worship? It's not because He's a selfish God, because He knows that we need to worship something. That there's an empty space inside of our spirit that needs to worship. Worship benefits us more than it does Him. God is fine all by Himself. He doesn't need our worship. He knows that we need to worship Him. So that's why He commands us to worship Him. He wants to restore you back to health and cure you and heal you, wherever you are. I love it. You can worship God while you're doing the dishes. You have a day and a half, you know? I mean, you're ready to lock your kids up in the basement or something, I don't know. And they're there, they're just giving you a hard time, but you're washing dishes and you're just singing and you're talking to the Lord, and all of a sudden the strength comes out of nowhere. It's not really out of nowhere, it's the Holy Spirit strengthening you.
Amen.
Because you're worshiping, you're doing therapy, you're doing worship, you're being made strong. Or you could be driving your car. I don't know how many times I've worshiped God in my car, and I get in St. Joe, I'm at a red light, people are looking at me, and I'm singing and whatever, talking to myself. They probably think I have one of those phones in my ear, and then they see I don't, and they go, no, he's just nuts. I'd rather be nutsy cuckoo. I'd rather be a fool for Christ than a fool for anything else. Worship. Worship the Lord. Worship begins with two important things. The first thing is a humble and yielded heart. True worship cannot stem out of a prideful heart. Oh, I heard we have a retired pastor here. Is that you? Will you raise your hand? Will you pick him up and finish the sermon, please? You probably never heard this before, right, Pastor? People will come to you that don't go to church and they'll say, Pastor, if I ever come to your church, the roof would cave in. You heard that, right? Well, they must think pretty highly of themselves, right? That's prideful. That's pride. Who do you think you are? You think you're that significant that a whole church building's going to crash in because you went into church because you don't worship God? Sorry. Not going to happen. The second thing that is important that we need to begin worship with is total trust. Even though you are facing situations that don't make sense or are painful, God can be trusted when you can't see where you're going. Worship involves not only your heart and your spirit, but your body as well. The ancient Hebrew word for God is Yahweh. And we translated it into English to Jehovah. But Yahweh is actually, every time we breathe, we say God's name. Yah, inhale, way. 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 God created us and He made us to worship Him. So every breath we breathe, we're saying God's name. Yahweh. Inhale. Yahweh. Awesome, isn't it? Number two, worship is a daily practice. It is an art that anyone can be skilled at. Everyone's worship looks different. You know, kids worship different than people in their 80s. And there's a reason for that. Kids have energy and 80-year-olds don't. usually, right? Kids like to dance, do the hand motions, sing and shout. I've seen some 80-year-olds that still like to do that too. But everybody's worship is going to look different. We worship God even through our work and our careers. True Christians are what some employers really want. I've heard this many times, that where there's a city and there's a Christian university, the different employers around there want those students and those kids to come and work for them. Because usually Christians have a higher performance level, they have greater accuracy with their work, they're more loyal to their boss and to the company they're working for, they're trustworthy and they're caring in what they do. Back when I was in college 100 years ago, I worked for a Jewish man. He was a non-religious Jew. His name was Charlie Marcus, and it was a grocery store. And another student, whose name was Ray Miller, he worked there too, and he made us cashiers because he figured we're Christians, we won't steal from them. Usually it was women that were cashiers, but Ray, he's now a missionary in the Philippines, and I'm here now a missionary in King City. And Charlie always is trying to get us to get more and more of our students to come. Because our work before him was showing him how good our God was, the greatness of our God. Our work was worship in his eyes. One day, this never happened to anybody else that I saw that worked in the store. It was really cool. A lady got mad at me at the cash register and she started yelling at me. And my boss, Charlie Marcus, came up to her and said, "Ma'am, you don't ever treat my help that way. You go somewhere else and shop. Goodbye." It wasn't only about 2 weeks later, someone started yelling at Ray Miller, the guy who's now a missionary in the Philippines. Charlie saw that. He went over and he says, "You don't ever talk to my help that way. Go shop somewhere else." We worship God 24/7. He should be on our mind and in our heart and everything that we do. A farmer in the field is worshiping God as they're making food for the world. And they're looking up at the beautiful clouds and the rolling hills, and then they see the red and orange sunset. What a way to worship God. The school teacher can portray the Lord Jesus Christ by their attitude and mannerisms. Most students know that are Christians which teacher is a Christian. Worship takes place every day, all day long. Every time you think of your Lord Jesus, you're worshiping him. And you know what? They've been taking prayer out of school. And you know, back east where I'm from, you didn't pray in school. I mean, I've seen that they can pray here in King City, no one has a problem. But for the last 40 years, you can't pray in any schools back east, on the west coast or in the north. I'm glad to be in a town that respects prayer still in the public school. But you know, they've outlawed prayer in school. The funny thing is, though, as long as there's students, there will always be prayer in school because they're taking tests. And every time you take a test, a student's going to pray. And I don't care whether it's in New York City or Boston or San Diego or Los Angeles, there's going to be prayer taking place. Amen? The third thing we're going to look at today is worship is meant to make you stronger. David said this about God. He said, "Strength and joy fill his dwelling." Now, in the Old Testament, his dwelling was the tabernacle and the temple. And today, we are his dwelling. Strength and joy fill his dwelling. Strength and joy fill Gene Hendrickson. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you." We are a cathedral. I'm a cathedral. You're just probably a chapel. I'm pretty big, so I consider myself a cathedral. But we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we get cracked, and the presence of God sort of leaks out of our life. But God will come back, and he will heal us, and he'll put us on the potter's wheel, because he's like a potter, and he fixes us, and he gets all the cracks out so that we can still have his Holy Spirit abiding and living in us. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a crackpot. There are a lot of crackpot Christians, right? They're cracked and they don't know it. God will heal us every time we worship Him. It's therapy, remember? Therapy. The scripture says, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Is that just on Sunday? No, that's 7 days a week. Amen?
Amen.
When you're between a rock and a hard place, just pray. Bowing in prayer is one of the most powerful forms of worship. And He'll be there and He'll answer. The fourth thing we're going to look at. And finally, I was going to try to be short-winded today, and I actually was. Give me a hand. You didn't really have to give me a hand. I know how hot it is in here. That's why. But the fourth thing is this. Worship always brings some kind of offering to God. David said, give the Lord the glory He deserves. Bring your offering and come into His presence. The best offering you can give to Him is yourself. Not what you put on the offering plate this morning, but yourself. That's the greatest offering you can give God. It says this in Romans 12, in verse 1. Give your bodies to God, because all He has done for you, let them be a holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Hopefully you gave yourself to Him. Offering, an offering can be of your time. We had so many people this week give up their time to work at Vacation Bible School. All this, and working with the kids. And those people that lead the singing all night long, jumping and singing, adults. I bet you they burn up a lot of calories. Offering can also be your talent. Many people gave of their talents. I don't know how many times that sign fell down and Dallas came and hung it back up. And I was expecting it to fall down right when I was preaching today. But it's still there. But I called him up and he came and he worshiped God's house. He came and he hung the sign back up. Turned the light back on. That's worship. 24/7, whatever we do it unto the Lord. We can be in helping others in service and be taking your turn at the food pantry or helping out over in the thrift store. It's worship unto God. And of course, giving finances to the kingdom of God. I want to stop with this thought today. Every morning when you wake up, decide to worship God. It's spiritual therapy. It's spiritual exercise to keep your body, soul, mind healed and healthy. Pray with me. Lord, we thank You for Your word today. We pray that it will take root in us. Lord, that it will transform us and change us through the power of the risen Savior we serve, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
You stand and sing Hallelujah.
I lift up my hand, and if you lift up your hand, you say, I want to receive this blessing. We live in a world that curses us so much and gives us so many negative things in our life. But this is a blessing that you can receive from God. Receive this blessing. Lord, I ask that you bless your people today with a positive attitude. Bless your people today with a hunger and a thirst to worship you. Bless your people today with strength and healing through speaking the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask it in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.